It's Our Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my incredible co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Today, we are going to be talking about a topic that we face very regularly in our families, Michelle, and as individuals. And I think that because it has a quiet way of really showing us what we're made of, so to speak, as Christians, it can be something that both makes us uncomfortable, but it has the opportunity to really challenge us behind closed doors. So today we're going to be talking about integrity, specifically integrity in the family. And I just absolutely loved talking with you about this and just hearing about the decisions that you've made over the years, protecting God, applying God, and seeing God in the life of your boys and in your family. And I think it's so encouraging. So as we go into Valentine's week, I just think it's great to talk about the best, most real kind of love, which is the love of God and how he wants to continue ministering to us in our lives.
I love it. All right. Well, I have something to share. A girlfriend of mine called me a couple of months ago and said she'd met a guy online. Oh my gosh, he was so kind and sweet and charming. He saw her post on a Facebook prayer group.
Okay.
And said, you know, texted her privately and said, you know, I hope you don't mind me contacting you this way. I was so touched by your prayer. I just had to tell you, you know, that you blessed me and I would like to get to know you. And they chatted back and forth very quietly in the beginning, very reserved. And then he said he was a widower. He's from the U.S., but he was working in another country. And they went on, and he's talking marriage.
Oh.
And it was incredible and exciting.
Wow.
And he was going to come and visit her in her hometown. And the day before, a doctor from a hospital in that country called her and said, oh, I'm so sorry. Your friend asked me to call you. He's been in an accident. And he won't be there tomorrow. And he's so sad. And he's going into surgery. And so she didn't hear from him for a few days. And then he called and he even sent her a picture of the injury that he had. And it was like, ah. So she's praying for him. She's giving him Christ all the time, building him up. And he's saying, wow, you're incredible. You're amazing. And then the day I called her, she was on my mind, he had asked her for money.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No, Michelle.
And she said to him, you know, that I'm so sorry. I can't do that. That makes me really uncomfortable. Please don't ask me again.
Oh.
He waited a few days and asked her again.
Oh, no.
She even called the embassy in the country that he was in and said, hey, you've got an American citizen. Can you help out this person? He's in hospital so-and-so. And they said, there is no such hospital in this country.
Oh my
God. We're so sorry. This may be an internet scam.
Wow.
And I checked on it for her. And yes, all the details line up. These unscrupulous men go online. They find someone's pictures on Facebook.
Wow.
And there's a weatherman in Australia that they love to take his photos. You know, this guy found out about it and he's online telling people, I'm not contacting you. It's not me.
Oh my goodness.
But they just take his photos and they start conversations with especially vulnerable, beautiful Christian women.
Oh my goodness.
And my heart broke for my friend. But then I thought, what integrity she has.
Mm-hmm.
She has nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
She met, it was a real person. Mm-hmm. She wasn't chatting with a robot.
Right.
You know, and he has no integrity.
Wow.
Zero.
Wow.
Zero. But she gave him Christ. And I said, wow, God trusted you with such a trial, you know, a heartbreaking trial.
Goodness.
And you came through like gold.
Wow.
You know, you gave this guy Christ. And it doesn't matter that he's not who he says he was. He heard the word of God day after day in their conversations. And I can't imagine that it didn't change him.
Wow.
So the best way to define integrity, it's the quality of honesty.
Yes.
Let's start there.
Yes.
Strong principles, moral uprightness, and that your actions are consistent with those standards. Even yes. when your actions are unpopular or challenging.
Yes, absolutely. And I would only add to that, that during the time of challenge, no matter what goes on, maybe how much we want to be with someone or what we've missed or what we long for, we do not compromise.
I love that.
We do not compromise. And I love what you said, Michelle. The whole situation, it deceived her, but it wasn't wasteful. Mm-hmm. Christ was still lifted up, and she did have a ministry to him, even though she had no idea what was surrounding it. And you know, it's amazing how much God allows, because in some way, people do reflect on what happened maybe later, or they take a piece of that, or they have a certain response they expected you to have. And when you don't have it, there's a peculiarity that remains with them about who this Christ is that you've been magnifying and lifting up and talking mm-hmm. to me about. And it makes me think about the Psalm 119, verse 1 through 4. Where it says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. And then verses 5-6 say, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands.
Oh, that is so perfect.
And I just think about her in the moment where she could have so much shame and embarrassment and saying, Lord, I'm not ashamed because I know I was being led by you in the entire situation to just share you with this man.
You know, nobody knows you have integrity until it's tested mm-hmm. in a way like that. Mm. And I had trouble coming to this day thinking about integrity. It's five words that define integrity are virtue.
Yes.
Oh, so that makes us think of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Mm-hmm. Goodness, honesty, reliability, honor.
Yes.
So that helped me get my head around this. Then I thought of five words that are the opposite of integrity: disrespect, deceitfulness, hypocrisy, corruption, immorality. Mm. And everyone is ethical in their own eyes.
Yes, that's so true. We are. We are wise in our own eyes and having no idea we're leading ourselves into destruction a lot of the time. But I'm so grateful for the word of God. Mm. And I'm so grateful for even these verses in this psalm that just convey such a sigh of relief. There's such relief and peace when you know you and God have been in constant fellowship about this decision, about this attitude of a child in your family, about a question that they had, and whether or not you are going to shift everything to accommodate their request, whether or not that's what you want of me, Lord. You know, we have constant questions and daily challenges that really help us understand integrity is, it really is more of an active word.
Oh, that's good.
How am I going to apply integrity today to a decision that I have to make? How am I going to welcome God into the decision and say, Lord, not your will or not my will, but yours, you know? And that is something that does require us dying to self. That does require us being inconvenienced, being uncomfortable sometimes, and really standing firm on what our family principles are.
I love that. I was on a police blog looking up the word integrity, and they dealt with it.
Okay.
They had a dirty dozen for policemen, sayings, little pithy sayings that if you're saying this, you know you're crossing the line.
Okay.
And they pointed out an incredible thing. What is the enemy of integrity for a policeman? And they said rationalization.
Oh, wow.
You know, we might think it's temptation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, how do I maintain integrity at my home? But something comes up, you know, we have a situation or a challenge or a request or an opportunity. It could be a good thing, could be a great thing. I will confess that I tried to gamble to make money to go on summer harvest when I was very young.
Okay.
And
okay.
I didn't win, of course. Okay. God made sure I did not win in any of the bets that I put down, which is now hilarious. But I went to my pastor and I confessed and I told him that I did this. And he goes, you're forgiven. Never do it again. you do not raise money for missions trips by, you know, going to bingo parlors.
But you know
and
what?
I was I'm writing that down.
But just someplace in your heart, you were saying, God, I'm doing this for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing this for you. But, you know, as we grow, we realize there shouldn't be a point at which you have to compromise God to please God or obey him.
There's a stinger.
But you know what? We have these really sweet intentions as we're growing in our faith. And I have said often, Lord, I'm looking for you. So I'm going to move forward. I'm still a little bit uncertain about what you want, but I've prayed about this. I've prayed over this. And now it's time for me to walk. So just move me in the right direction if I'm moving towards the wrong door, because I can't just pray and pray and pray and have my life at a standstill. You know, and I have to trust God enough that while I'm in motion, he can turn my direction if my heart is continually listening for his voice.
I love it. One of the red flags is the thought, well, everyone does it.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Even in the Christian circles, it's like, well, she started doing it, so it must be okay, you know? And we cave under pressure like that. Sometimes we don't even realize it, Michelle. There is a lot of self-comparison, or there are these quiet, unresolved matters in our heart that really are the driving force behind why we make certain decisions. And
sure,
we have to just keep lifting it up to God and saying, in all honesty, God, I'm very insecure here. I want to be like this person, or I want to be distracted in this area, because it's hard to keep praying about this, or, you know, fasting about this, or going to a counselor maybe about this. But, you know, we are so broken, and God knew that when he was knitting us together. He knew we would have this utter dependency on him. The question is whether or not we would turn to him after we realized who he could be in our lives. And some of us don't. But also, I think integrity is about those places where you know deep down you could submit more of that portion of yourself to God. You don't want to. It's not comfortable, but you know it's there, and you know there's only one solution.
You know, in Paul's time, the big issue was eating meat sacrificed to idols, going to these heathen butchers who had sacrificed a big cow and were selling steaks. And we don't have that.
Right.
I don't care where my meat comes from. But what about your posting on Facebook? Oh, you loved this book.
Okay.
But it's got some parts in it that are, or you're watching this TV show.
Yep.
On Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. And there's so many times I've tried a book. I've seen someone recommend it. And like on the back cover, it's like, oh no, this is not coming into my house. Mm-hmm. I cannot let my children see this. Mm-hmm. Or I've started watching a TV show, and in minutes, it's like, no.
Right.
We can't have this.
Right. And you know, I know we've all had those moments where maybe we thought something was safe, and then we end up getting up and turning down the volume, or we fast forward past that one part.
Yeah.
And what does that look like to our kids? You know, Oh, okay. So when we're outside of the house, let's really try to completely stay away from things. But when you're in the house, we can kind of sweep some things under the rug. You know, we have to think about that, because that is teaching them the kind of Christian integrity that we want them to embody. You know, watch what you're doing when you have an audience, but hey, you do what you got to do. Sometimes it's just to laugh. Sometimes it's just because the storyline is good, you know, but those things have a really deep impact on you. You know, those things go in your ear, they go in your heart, they go in your soul, and they are usually garbage. You know, I had to have the last day of my life being that I'm not going to watch the final episode of something that deep down I kind of cried and laughed and knew I was really grieving the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe I really don't want to give it up, but I will be fine if I do. And so will my children.
Yeah. Another one of those little sentences is, we can do it just this one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and how many children were conceived in just this one time? You know, David and Bathsheba.
Yep.
Just this one time. Nobody will know your husband's out of town. And everyone focuses on David and Bathsheba and the sin. It was sin. Mm-hmm. But the real problem was everyone went to war and David stayed home. Mm-hmm. He wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Mm.
So when you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing, it sets you up.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a good question to ongoingly ask ourselves, Michelle, when we feel that unction of the Holy Spirit asking you to stop and really think is this something that if I was spotlighted right now before God, right now, is he nodding in approval or is he looking at me with this sense of, please don't feed on this garbage. You don't need it. I hear you. You have some sort of a need, but this isn't how it's going to be fulfilled. No matter what the spirit of the age is saying, you know, me, 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 my needs, it's one time. It won't make a big difference. This is not how the world works anymore. So it really is okay for me to not practice these old fashioned practices that make me feel more like an outsider or more like a loner. But you know what? We've been called to be different.
Amen.
That is why we are here.
Amen.
You know, and that is supposed to be an even thread in everything that we are a part of, whether or not only God can see it or everyone, including God, can see it.
I love it. How about this won't hurt anyone?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You're just going to take a few extra trash bags from work.
Mm.
You know, they always said paper clips, but I don't think anyone uses paper clips anymore.
I do.
Maybe
I
to
do.
Reset your phone.
I'm a teacher, so, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, those little thieveries.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And your kids see it.
Oh, absolutely.
That you brought this home.
Yes.
And it's okay.
Yep.
You know, how about it's a stupid rule anyway?
Oh, yes.
Well, then at one point does that stop?
Right.
How about the guy who's making your sandwich,
mm-hmm.
you know, at when you stop? Is it okay if he doesn't follow all the food safety rules mm-hmm. because they're kind of stupid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when does it stop?
Mm-hmm.
And then your kids push back and forth on you and you're wondering, why are they so disobedient?
Yes.
No, because you're playing with rules.
Right. Absolutely.
Fast and free, right?
Mm. You know, it's really important for us to remember that when it comes to integrity, we need to have that sense of accountability. A lot of times, the way that I make something very official in our home is by saying it out loud. Because I know if I say it out loud and I was heard, that will come back to me in either a positive or a negative way. And so that does require prayer sometimes. Maybe if I'm going to be saying we're going on this special trip or we're going to be helping this family with this. And it can be very easy for me to say, if I don't have an accountability, then I can always get out of it. So don't say it out loud. Don't create that accountability, you know? And it's almost like immediate when I start having thoughts like that, that I know I need to say it out loud because the flesh is always going to be hostile towards God. Mm. The flesh is always going to prefer convenience over comfort. But how many lives are changed, including my own, when I really do own up to doing what God has led me to do?
I love that. 1 Samuel 26:23 says, the Lord rewards each man for his integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're just reminding ourselves that none of this is hidden
right.
from the Lord.
Right.
You know, he
yes.
sees it.
Mm.
Proverbs 20:7, the godly walk with integrity and blessed are their children after
wow.
them.
Amen.
These are promises. The greatest inheritance we could leave is a life of integrity.
Mm.
And when we talk about integrity, we think of Job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just admit, it's a miserable book to read. I love the first three chapters. I love the last three chapters. But in the middle, it just goes on and on and on. And it's so painful.
Mm.
But it starts out with Job 2:3. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, who fears God and avoids evil.
Wow.
So here's God bragging on Job, and it's like, God, don't put that target on my back. Why are you bringing up my name in the council of heaven?
Mm.
So we know that all that Job goes through, he loses his wealth, his workers,
yep.
his children, mm. his health,
yes.
his wife turns against him. Sounds like he's homeless at one point. He's sitting wow. on an ash heap. You know, his wife says to him in Job 2:9, do you still retain your integrity?
Mm-hmm.
Curse God and die.
Mm.
And he says to her, now this is a woman that's just lost 10 children.
Sure.
So please, everyone cut her a break. He says, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil?
Wow.
So he gets an idea that this is God allowing this to happen. But then the whole thing with Job is he could not handle his friends not still loving him. Mm. It's not about wealth. It's not about health. It's not about children. It's not about marriage. It's about the pressure we can feel from friends on the horizontal.
Wow.
You know, and they're pressuring him to confess, hey, you know, we thought you were so great, but obviously you aren't.
Wow.
So, and Job 31, the word integrity is mentioned in Job a lot more than other places.
Yes, yes.
But in 31:6, he says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity.
Wow.
You know, and we know God gives them everything else back. It's incredible. He has a little head-to-head with God, which is good for all of us to read.
Yes. Yes.
We just want to say good morning to our friends on YouTube and Facebook. Mary, Aretta, Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you all so much for listening. God bless you.
So how do we teach our kids integrity? Mm. Well, my husband said right away, a work ethic. Mm. That we assign chores, we expect them to get done. You know, and they're just, my kids just imitate their dad.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So people give us compliments. I got a compliment the other day about our kids and it was very sweet, but it's like, yeah, they just do what he does. Not really about me.
But you know what? I think that that's really important to understand and emphasize, Michelle, that where there is going to be an upholding of integrity, there has to also be this balance of discipline.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't want to be legalistic in terms of making sure that we have these family principles that we understand and that we uphold and that there are consequences if we see swaying in activity or if we see a compromise in attitude. But we're all learning, we're all growing. But I love this aspect of integrity being upheld as something that we are actively pursuing. And if there is a problem there, we are going to stop and really break this down and understand that this is holy work unto the Lord. Mm. Whether or not you want to be doing it, it is important to understand that we all work together to take care of the house, to take care of our family, to honor God, to apply God in how we are cleaning this or reorganizing that. It's very important for us to really convey that practical application to our kids because they are learning how to think on their own. They're always progressively getting to the point where they're not going to be under you directly.
Yes.
Whether or not they're a little baby in your arms or, you know, somebody in third grade who is interrogating you about so many reasons why we do this and why we do that. And it's important for them to understand this is building you for later.
Absolutely.
Because one day mommy and daddy will not be right in front of you saying, oh, no, no, go this way. Oh, no, no, go this way. And you need to know how to talk to God on your own. You need to know God for yourself because he has more plans for you when you are a man or when you are a lady. And I'm excited for you, but my job is to keep getting you ready to listen and to understand so that you can go out there and apply to all the people that you are going to be around.
I love it.
And we can't wait, right, for those testimonies where we see what we've invested in has come back, you know, and that the word of the Lord has been multiplied. You know, he promises us it will not come back void, you know, but really making sure that as we are instilling these principles in our home, I really want it to be something where we stay away from a legalistic, you know, obedient because I'm saying so, and that's it. Because that's also a reflection of God to our kids. Does God care about my questions? Does God care about where I'm concerned? Does he care about the fact that I'm doing this in sadness, even though I'm being obedient? You know, this is what it means to keep instilling these qualities in them and saying, this family stands on God and he's a gracious, loving God, but everything is not okay with him. And that's okay too.
You know, as a young couple with a new baby, you don't realize you've already set how you are building this foundation in your family. And I told my kids, we homeschooled all them. Except my first one, he did 1 year. He did 12th grade with us, but everybody else from the beginning. And I would tell them, I'm preparing you for your boss, your pastor, and your father-in-law. And they would say, father-in-law, don't you mean bride? I said, no, you're adorable. She's going to be crazy about you. I don't have to prepare you for her. I said, I want you to have the approval of your father-in-law. Mm. I want you to work.
Yes.
You know, and be faithful. Being faithful to your spouse is an incredible testimony to your children, whether it's sexually, financially faithful, that you're not buying things and hiding the bags and tags from your husband, you know, geographically faithful. I see women, and this has happened to me, where you love your mom and dad, and you go and spend all this time with them. They need you. They love you. They affirm you. They take care of your kids. But then you leave your husband at home all weekend. Mm. And I have done that. Mm. I did not, you know, include my husband in a lot of my plans, social plans. Oh, I'm going out with the girls. You got the kids. And it's fine if you've discussed it and it's, you know, it's a mutual thing.
Yes.
But when you are communicating to your husband, I don't want to spend time with you. Mm-hmm. I want to be with my parents or with my friends. That is being unfaithful.
Yes.
And your kids are seeing, oh, this is how we treat
our
spouse.
And that overlaps too when you want to have those part two conversations about why we respect dad and how important that is. The first thing they're going to say is, well, what about what you did? You know, and they won't be wrong. You know, and having that accountability piece is important because maybe we have not self-reflected on that before. You know, we're going along thinking I'm taking care of me. Nothing's drastically wrong with my husband, so this must be okay. But you're right, having that inclusion, having that honor. And even recently, I was having a conversation with my son, who still really loves when I sit in his room for a few minutes as he's going to bed. And I said, listen, I have been with you a lot today and I've loved every moment, but daddy has to go to work early in the morning and I only have about 1 hour with him before he goes to bed. He's my best friend. He's from God. And he needs to make sure that I know that he's supporting us. He needs to know that I love him. He needs to know that I'm willing to say, all right, good night to you, so that I can have this last portion of the day with him, because that's what we do have.
I love that.
You know, and it was kind of hurtful for my son to hear because he's parting from me, but he also heard that, well, daddy is also important and mommy is protecting that right now. And I want him to know that that's okay. When mommy says no to you out of protection for her and daddy, that is okay.
That's awesome.
You know?
How about keeping promises?
Mm.
You know, now sometimes things come up.
Right.
You know, okay, we were going to go to the park, but it's raining. Or mommy's sick. But when you we were going to go to the park, but my friend wants me to go to the movies.
Mm.
Bye.
Mm.
You know, don't make promises that you don't intend to keep.
Right.
And if you make a promise, do whatever you can.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Be honest. Let your kids know you messed up.
Yes.
Apologize to them.
Yes. Yes. You know, I have encountered many people, Michelle, who have said this specific area is a challenge for them because they didn't have mothers and fathers that apologized to them. You know, they've seen it be that they have had the I'm in charge card thrown in their face. And of course, there was all this intimidation that was behind any type of venting concern or asking questions. And I think that we are all guilty of this. Sometimes we use our authority in a manipulative way in our homes.
Okay.
Because we want to preserve integrity. We want to preserve that family name, you know? And if it's at that kind of cost, I'm not so sure God is in it anymore, you know? Because if God himself does not use force to encourage us to obey, then where do we have the right to use that when we are raising up our own children? And that need for control, that fear for control, it can be something that really takes over our relationships. And pretty soon there's a huge distance there because there's a lack and a removal of security that your child is supposed to feel under you.
That is good.
You know, so we have to really think about that. Yes, I am in charge and I am the authority, but I don't have to be ongoingly proving that as a way to try and control your behavior. I can keep investing in getting to know you. And I can make sure I'm really pinpointing the disconnect that's causing you to be disobedient. Maybe it's lack of understanding. Maybe I've genuinely never sat down and taught you how to do what I'm asking of you. We don't always realize it, but we need those examples sometimes of, well, what does that look like if I'm sitting my child down and asking them, why do we keep having this problem? You know, sometimes we just don't realize there's more to it than them clearly just not wanting to listen.
The biggest disconnect there can be is go clean your room. Most children have no idea what that means. And you have to sit down and teach them. Okay, number one, grab all the clothes.
Yes.
Number two, pick up the floor.
Yes.
Number three, make your, you know, whatever your little plan is. Mm-hmm. But most children don't know what clean up your room is.
Right.
They go in there and they're like, everything's fine.
Yeah. This has happened to me so many times. And you know what breaks my heart, Michelle, is when the pursuit is genuinely there because I understood every word that you said. I just don't understand how I'm supposed to deliver on what you're asking of me, you know? And what about that being a wonderful moment of integrity for us? Because sometimes we can be so frustrated by something that seems so simple to us as adults who have already learned it. So then we end up saying, what do you mean? Pick up the clothes, look at the floor, open the closet and put the dirty clothes in the basket that I have provided for you, you know? And then it ends up being, oh, you are bothered with me. And even though I thought we were working together in this so that I could grow understanding, now I'm just going to do exactly what I saw you do. There's still no understanding, but now I just don't want you to look down on me, or and I don't want to be burdensome to you. So a great opportunity lies there for us as well as the person teaching, as the parent involved, or even aunt, uncle, godmother, whoever you are. If you have influence, make it a godly influence.
Beautiful.
Because we cannot force people to change, and we shouldn't be.
And we don't want to be making impulsive threats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't do this, you're going to be grounded for 27 years. Well, your kid knows you don't mean that, you know, but if you say, if you have pre-explained consequences, you know, okay, this is a busy week. We're going to do this every day to get ready for the party on Saturday, because I don't want you to be pressured. And so you break things down. You explain, oh, this is what we're doing today. But, and then follow through.
Yes.
You know, being consistent.
Absolutely.
We are training our children, but our children are training us.
Yes.
To
yes.
be consistent and fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And so much trust is built when you do follow through.
Yes.
You know, anybody can make promises and make things sound fun and exciting, but it's really when you are having your child watch how much you're protecting that, how much you're bringing that back into the center. Well, remember, this is what we're trying to accomplish. So how do these decisions that we're making now support this?
I love that.
Because that could definitely create a problem.
Let's talk about money. How do we spend our money in the family? And for my husband and I, before we even got married, we were tithers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we heard it in a message. We were already tithing on our net.
Okay.
And then we heard a message, you're supposed to tithe on your gross. And it was like, what the heck? This church is crazy. But our pastor explained, you know, yes, I know you only get this much money every week and things have already been taken out, but you have to look at as if you got the whole and you're supposed to tithe on the gross. Mm-hmm. So that was a bit of an adjustment. But once we made that, we have been consistent. I can say for 44 years, we have never missed a tithe.
Wow.
Now, if we were sick and we weren't there that Sunday, that check went in a place in our financial folder, and then two checks went in next week.
Okay.
You know, and there was never a horizontal adjustment. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to give this to this missions organization because, you know, it's still God's money.
Yeah.
And they
That's
need
a
it.
Sufficient substitute. It's still tithing if I do this other spiritual thing.
You know? And let's just try that with your insurance company for your car insurance. You call them and say, hey, my car was in the shop for 10 days last month. It didn't go anywhere. It certainly wasn't in any accidents. So I'm only going to give you 2/3 of my monthly insurance payment.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's not going to fly. And it doesn't fly with God either.
No. Right.
You know, whether you were in the chapel or not, they had the lights on.
Right.
They were heating the area around your seat.
Right, right.
And we rob God, not of the money, mm-hmm. but of the opportunity.
Mm.
Some missions trip is on your heart. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if God will provide.
Yes.
The kindest, most polite way for God to close a door on some harebrained idea that he does not want you to do is just for him not to provide the money.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, okay, well, I really wanted to go do this, but I never had the money. Oh, well, how about next year?
Mm-hmm.
How about I make a plan? Oh, how much money do I need? Oh, I can save that every week for the next 50 weeks. Or I can get another job.
Yes.
Or I can do something.
Yes.
But you rob God of the chance to provide for you.
Wow. I love that, Michelle, because we forget our life is comprised of so many different seasons. And as we are evaluating that, God just wants us to continue to hear his voice, even though the circumstances are new to us, maybe surprising to us, or like you said, they're very drawing to us. You know, I keep having my heart just wanting to go to this place. I want to meet these people. I want to share the gospel in this way, you know?
Yep.
And no one is saying that the zeal behind that is wrong, but you still have to follow God's order and God's design. And I've often heard even our own pastor say at the Edgewood Church, Pastor James Bryson, he said, you know, you have so much on your heart that you want to go on this missions trip, but you don't talk to any of your neighbors when you go home. Oh. You don't know anyone's name.
Oh,
you know, and I thought, oh, don't cover your face now, Michelle.
Wow.
We are all guilty of having that separated thought, you
That's
know,
so good.
When I go home, this is acceptable. And then when I leave, then I start attributing all my godly activities and actions to this life that I have outside of this private, unbothered life that I want to have, you know, but we don't think like that. That's why we need our pastors to say things like that. I even remember talking to Pastor Shibeli one time about the way that he's always so bold, you know, talking to people about going on missions.
Him.
And then he said to me privately, he said, you know, I have to say that. I have to say that because people have so many different thoughts attached to what it really means to be on the missions field. I want to encourage them and I want them to know God has something for them and not to just close the door immediately and say, that's not for me, because it will fall in the right place as God would lead them. But I have to be that voice saying, don't say no to God first.
I love
it. You know, and it's beautiful and we need it. We need that charge, you know, to keep being active in our faith and not limiting God.
I love it. My husband and I had decided we would have zero tolerance for alcohol.
Mm.
His brother was killed by a drunk driver.
Mm.
I grew up in a home where both of my parents drank mostly daily. They weren't drunks, but you know, it was always there. And the decisions they made were like, sometimes I benefited.
Mm.
Oh, you want to stay up and watch TV? Go ahead. You know? And so as a child, you're always playing the angles.
Yeah.
But then you see decisions they made that were not good under the influence of alcohol. So we decided we're not even going to have cooking wine.
Wow.
You know, and man, spaghetti sauce tastes really good when you put a half a cup of alcohol in it, red wine. But you know what? Can I just give that to the Lord and say, no, I'm not going to the store.
Mm.
I'm not having it delivered.
Wow.
My children will never see it in my house.
But I love
never.
That because for you, that was a matter of compromise.
Yes.
You know, I will not compromise even down to my spaghetti noodles.
Nope.
I will not compromise,
not
you know.
Having it.
And I love that because it shows such a personal walk with God and being led in every single decision. You know, we were talking yesterday about Proverbs 11:3 that says the integrity of the righteous will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. And Matthew Henry says in his commentary on this specific verse, the integrity of an honest man will itself be his guide in the way of duty and the way of safety. His principles are fixed, his rules certain, and therefore his way is plain. His sincerity keeps him steady, and he need not tack about every time the wind turns, having no other end to drive at than to keep a good conscience.
Wow, that's awesome.
I absolutely loved that because it made me think, Are we meditating on what's righteous in our family? Are our family principles fixed? Or are we wavering under that pressure that you mentioned before, you know? And it is very plain when it comes to God. God is so profound on one end of the spectrum, and then he's so simple on the other end, you know? It's either for him or against him.
I love it.
You're either following his leading or you're not.
Yep.
You know, and I love that he makes it plain for us so that we can clearly see when we are out of his will or when he's not even being included in our consideration. We need that. We need that check, that correction, that filter, so that before our life turns in a direction that could have a very bad multiple effect, we have this word of God rooting us and keeping us safe and helping us understand. Keep consulting me. As your kids grow, keep consulting me. As new opportunities come your way, keep consulting me.
Beautiful.
As your husband and your relationship together changes in different seasons of your life, keep consulting me, you know?
That is so good. How about little white lies? That, you know, someone knocks on the door, oh, and you tell your child, well, tell them mommy's not home. You know, or someone calls on the phone. Oh, well, tell them daddy's not home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband and I have a big conviction about not doing that. You know, if somebody wants me to do something, I don't say, oh, no, I have an appointment that day. No, I just say, oh, thanks for thinking of me. I am honored that you thought of me. Mm. But unfortunately, I can't make it.
Mm.
Don't lie.
Right.
Don't have your kids lie for you.
Right.
Just tell the truth. You don't have to go into a big explanation. I don't want to spend time with you.
Okay, Michelle.
You can just, you know, you can just be kind.
Yes.
You can just be kind.
Yeah.
The reward of integrity. I love what you said about safety.
Yes.
And security.
Mm.
Proverbs 10:9, he who walks in integrity walks securely.
Mm-hmm.
You can rest in that security. You don't have to worry about being found out. There's no hidden sins you're lying to cover up. You're transparent. You're honest. You keep your promises. People can trust your word. When you fail, you admit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, oh, wow, mommy really blew it.
Yep.
And please forgive me.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we can really take advantage of these opportunities in so many ways, Michelle, because we have a lot of residue on us. You know, even though we are in the Lord and he is constantly cleansing us, being with the body is so encouraging. Listening from the pulpit builds us up. We have a residue of things that we've also stuck our hand in, so to speak, and they have remained in our thinking and in our heart.
Sure.
And we have to go through some unlearning. And we have to be patient with ourselves, because sometimes we can set this very high bar. I'm Christian now. I'm a dad now. I'm a mom now. And it's like, well, you're still just Jasmine. You know, you're Jasmine who needs God every day. And you're going to see how much you need him in this season of your life as your family grows and as your life changes.
I love it.
And it can be difficult, but having that ongoing grace towards yourself, having the mind of Christ towards yourself, it's so redeeming. You know, no matter how old you get, you never outgrow needing God's help, you know?
Well, that's a beautiful way for us to start wrapping this up. We're so glad you joined us for this topic.
Yes.
There is a blessing promised to us in Psalm 119, verse 1. I think you started with it.
Yes.
Blessed are those whose lives have integrity and who follow the teachings of the Lord.
Wow.
So this Valentine's Day, have integrity.
I was thinking about that. Yes, that's so true. Yeah. And you know, I really appreciated everything that you and I had discussed prior to the show, Michelle, too, just about making sure that as different things are coming into your life, you can welcome the experience so long as you know I'm taking God with me, you know? And I thought about that. I brought this book to just refer to everybody who might want to read. It's called Gospel Powered Parenting, and it's by Pastor William P. Farley. And it's an amazing book that gives some practical wisdom about how as your family grows and as the seasons of life change, making sure that your investment in your kids, as you were saying, Michelle, is teaching them godly values and helping them understand that as they face different challenges, God does not have to be compromised. You know, God can see us. He sees us from the beginning to the end, and he just wants us to keep growing no matter where we are in our lives. And that's beautiful because he can see it all. Yeah. And he still says, I love you.
Beautiful.
I love you. So we just want to encourage all of you out there as you have all these different decisions to make and challenges in front of you. You don't go alone. He is always available. So just sit down and make yourself available to receive.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We're always so blessed to be with you. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for our next show as we are continuing to discuss integrity in your walk with Christ. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.